Hello to all dear representatives and RD merchants all over the world. Hope you're all feeling great and doing well. We're back with another educational podcast, and today's topic is the sales script. A lot of people tend to lose track of their own scenario and purpose during a negotiation. And many of you have asked us to share an example of a sales dialogue or a script. So today, we're going to do just that. We've prepared a sample script for you, provided by our business consultant. Be sure to get in touch with your own mentor, message them, and request this pre-made sample text so you can receive the script. All right, let's dive in and see what's going on and what steps we're going to take. Pay close attention. When you enter a phone conversation, I've explained this many times, a phone call can be evaluated from two perspectives. First, who says hello first? Whenever a customer calls you, the moment you pick up the phone, you'll see that the customer usually says, "Hello, good day." This means that the customer wants to initiate the conversation themselves. By who says hello first, I mean, who's making the call? Who's on the receiving end? Is it you who called the customer, or is the customer calling you? So by who says hello first, I mean who's reaching out to whom. All right, so does it make a difference? Is there a real difference here? Yes, absolutely. Who makes the call does matter. At first glance, it might seem like the person calling is the one in need, meaning if the customer calls me, it might imply that they need me, or if I call the customer, then I'm the one in need. But this perspective is for amateurs, not professional salespeople. If I'm your teacher here, learn this from me. In business, I've introduced you to a three-sided model. I explained that every business person interacts with these three sides, which we might say it's a triangle. The first side is the business person. A true business person knows the etiquette of business, understands business laws, and is skilled and experienced in all aspects related to commerce. The second side is the customer or buyer. Essentially, the people who are interested in our product, our potential customers, the ones we can discuss our products with. And the third size is the supplier, the people who can provide or produce the products we need to do business. So anyone who works in commerce naturally interacts with all three sides. Even if they're the producer themselves, they still need to connect with others to source raw materials or manage production needs. Now, when we understand these three sides, we can ask a bigger question. One side is the business person, one side is the customer or buyer, and one side is the supplier. It's as if three different players are all involved, engaged, and invested in this process. Now, I want to ask you all this. Out of these three, who holds the highest position? Pay close attention. Who has the most credibility and the most significant role? Is it the business person, the customer or buyer, or the supplier? Think about it. Amateurs tend to answer this question by picking one side. Maybe in your mind, you're thinking that the supplier or producer is at the top, but that's absolutely not the case. If you've paid attention to our lessons in the business school, you'll notice that whenever I've talked about the triangle, I actually drew an equilateral triangle for you. This means that each angle is 60 degrees and all the sides are equal. There's no side that's larger or smaller than the others. But many people have developed a misconception that one side is more important. For example, that the customer has a higher position because they hold the money, or that the business person has a higher status because they're meeting the customer's needs. Some might argue that the supplier holds the highest position, as they are the ones making it possible for the business person and customer to fulfill their needs. It's the supplier, after all, who provides the goods and meets the demands. But in reality, there is no hierarchy among these three sides. They're all equally important and interconnected. No. These three sides, these three groups, are all mutually dependent. None of them are completely independent. They all need each other. The customer wants products, which they can get through the business person. And the business person relies on the supplier to provide those products. And what about the supplier? Why do they produce anything in the first place? They produce in order to sell, so they need the customer. And the supplier can find customers through the business person. So all three of these sides depend on each other, and none of them are superior to the others. Don't think of one as more important than the others. They're all valuable and connected, and they're all on equal footing. Now, if the question is about which business person, customer, or supplier has an advantage that's different, for example, between the first supplier and the second or tenth, yes, the first supplier's ability to meet demands, capacity, infrastructure, and delivery speed make a difference. So, there's definitely competition between suppliers, just as there's competition between business people and customers. My first customer might place an order for 10 tons, while my second one orders 20 tons. Naturally, the second customer brings me more profit. So yes, there's competition among customers. But as for these three essential sides, each at its 60 degrees angle, they're all equally important. And if you add up the internal angles of a triangle, they sum to 180 degrees. So I need to understand this point clearly. Many of you have asked, Professor, you often talk about triangles in your podcasts and lessons. Is there a hidden significance to the triangle? Yes, that's an interesting topic, but I don't want to get sidetracked right now and lose sight of the main point. So, when we come to the business person's side, it's crucial to understand what skills a business person needs and to recognize the intense competition between business people. You should learn how to sell over the phone and increase your market share. I've talked with you before about the triangle of market share, which includes knowledge, effort, and branding as its three sides. I explained this in the context of branding. I said to always think of branding like a pizza with different slices. One slice of this branding pizza could be communication skills. Another could be about building connections. And a third might be about advertising. there are other slices related to branding that we've talked about before and will keep discussing in the future. But the important point here, friends, is about connections. Look at your own income. You'll see it's often close to the average of the five people you interact with the most. Write down five friends or connections on a piece of paper, and you'll see that your income is about the average of those five people. The more connections you have, the higher your income tends to be. The fewer connections, the lower. We covered all these basics in the previous chapter and have gone over them multiple times. I don't want to keep going back to what we covered in the first chapter and revisiting everything from scratch. No, let's move forward. When it comes to building a business, it's crucial who we decide to reach out to. Should I just sit back and wait for customers to contact me, or should I make the first move and connect with them? Who says hello? Who says hello first? You might ask, does it really matter? Yes, it matters a lot. As Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, taught, the one who says hello first earns 69 rewards, while the one who replies only gets one. In other words, initiating the greeting or contact brings a huge advantage. The same goes for sales. The person who makes the first call or establishes the first connection is the one with a much greater chance, 69 times greater, compared to someone who just sits around waiting for others to reach out. At Arad Branding, we don't just sit and wait. We have sales teams in different areas, both in services and products, and they don't wait for customers to find them. We take the first step. Many people ask, how does Arad Branding get so many clients? Where do they find them? Well, it's because we don't sit idle. I've advised you all many times. Don't wait. Take action. Go out and make things happen yourself. You can make money so easily in this world. This isn't some slogan or ad. It's something we practice daily. And we're seeing real success from these techniques. Now, you may have questions. If I'm the one making the calls, there's some pressure. I'm not a robot. And if I want to use robots, you keep advertising us not to use them. Yes, that's correct. Don't replace real human effort with robotic pressures. I've explained this about messaging before, saying all robotic actions are forbidden. The same goes for phone calls. Sometimes you get these robotic sounding recordings inviting you to an event or offering some kind of promotion. You can tell it's not a real person, just a recorded message that says the same thing to everyone over and over. You see the number pop up and don't even want to answer because you know it's an ad. You pick up, say hello, and there's no response to your greeting, just a monotone message. So don't do this. Don't use robotic behavior when reaching out to people. It will backfire. So, if we're doing this ourselves, the first question is, how do we find customers? The second question is, once we call them, what should we say? These are two very important points. As for where to find customers, I personally thought 50 different ways to find both local and international clients in our business school. Every day from 10 in the morning until midnight, free meetings are held on the Arad branding website. Join these sessions. Each one is on a specific topic posted on a website. And learn how to find customers. Learn about the products that Arad merchants have to offer. That's one part of it. Now, let's say you've found some clients and started reaching out to them. The next question is, what do you actually say on these calls? Each of you has a specific product in hand and your products aren't all the same. In this podcast, I'll guide you on the basics and when we're done, go to your mentor and ask them to send you the ready-made script for phone sales. This script has been created to guide you through each step of introducing yourself to customers. It's something I personally wrote and want you to really learn. I'm also giving you a guide along with it. Using this script, I start with a clear understanding that I won't be handing it over to a robot, and I begin with a positive mindset. Now, pay close attention. When you're negotiating, if your tone, delivery, or speaking style is weak or lacks confidence, the customer will quickly pick up that you're trying to pitch them. They'll think you're about to present something and try to sell them on your products. So they'll say things like, "Could you call me later? I don't have time right now." I've told you many times that noticing these issues in a negotiation is normal, but I also ask that you avoid trying to solve them on your own. Solutions that people suggest, those from many Western-based sales books, for example, are often impractical and end up leading to failure. So don't rely on them. These are problems I and my team have encountered before. So just come to me and ask, "Professor, I faced this issue, and I know you've probably dealt with it too. How did you solve it?" I remember once I was in a meeting with sales directors from various companies, and one sales manager with 30 years of experience shared a story. He was managing 11 branches in a region, and one day a factory owner called him about a product that was close to its expiration date, only 20 days left. They wanted to know if he could sell it, even offering a bonus. So I asked him, "How did you sell it?" He told me he used a technique I taught him. He remembered that during that meeting, I asked everyone how they'd approach such a sale. Many people shared their ideas, but they didn't pay attention to where the money actually was or who had it. Because of this, their strategies were off. They were trying long-winded and didn't work. Many people will suggest strategies like, try this approach, ask the customer if they have time for a chat or if they'd prefer to call you back later. But this line of thinking is misguided. You hear this so often that the next time you call, your strategy changes. You start the conversation by asking, "Do you have a moment? Do you have a moment to talk? Or can I take a few minutes of your time?" In negotiations, pay close attention. I never recommend using that kind of question. This question is a closed-ended one, which often leads to a no answer. When you ask a question that can only be answered with yes or no, most people naturally lean towards shutting you down by saying they don't have time or asking you to call back later. But if you skip that question and just start talking, out of every 100 people you contact, even if your pitch is a bit weak, about 20 to 30 will say to call them back later. But 70 people will actually listen to what you're saying. However, when you ask permission up front, you'll find that more than 80% say, "Let's talk another time." And trust me, less than 10% of them will actually answer your call later. So this strategy is a dead end. It's the strategy of beginners, not professionals. Professional salespeople don't use this approach. That's why in the script I prepared for you, I made sure to avoid this kind of question. This audio guide of mine is here to help you follow the strategy closely. So don't go changing the script or adding a new approach to it. This short one-page script I'm providing you is based on 20 years of phone sales experience, designed to help you initiate that first contact effectively. So please don't change it, my friends. I've left some blanks throughout, meaning you'll need to fill in those spaces with words specific to your situation. Since I don't know your exact product, you'll need to insert the name of your product, company, or service wherever there's a blank. Pay close attention to these. I've also used a slash symbol sometimes, which stands for or, like Mr. or Mrs. Just make sure to adjust it based on whether you're addressing a man or a woman. Once the initial greetings are done, we move forward by trying to find the customer's interests. Shared interests. In this script, I've carefully chosen certain words and phrases, so please don't change them. Only make minor adjustments if your product absolutely requires different wording. Sometimes using the wrong word can provoke a negative reaction from the customer. If you alter it on your own, you could get a negative response, which only makes things worse. So we talk with potential customers about their business and try to understand them, pay close attention. Next, we're working to build credibility for ourselves to establish our brand and identity so that we aren't seen as just salespeople. Don't make the mistake of turning this script into a straightforward sales pitch. We've put effort here into creating trust, building an identity, and establishing our character. Don't jump to conclusions like, "The intro is covered, the ending is clear, so I'll cut out the middle part and shorten this 2-minute script to 30 seconds. You can't make any changes to the text except for filling in the blanks, with words that suit your product. If you make unauthorized changes, it'll harm the credibility and authenticity we're building. In this file, we're providing a lot of suggestions to the audience. The purpose of the call should be clear, not hidden. We're direct and upfront about why we're reaching out. There are three main points we want to discuss. There's no need to conceal or reasons for the call. It's clear why we're reaching out. Concealing intentions just leads to mistrust, so let's avoid it. Our communication is beneficial for us, but if it's not a zero-sum game where only one side wins, this is a win-win deal where both sides benefit, and that should be made clear. It's not a charity or an act of sympathy. Rather, it's a business opportunity full of value, benefits that extend to both parties. With this transparency, the conversation becomes clearer and more engaging. As the conversation wraps up, it's crucial to set a time for the next contact. This is what I call the first follow-up, which is actually the second call. The first call is the initial contact, where we introduce ourselves. The second call is no longer a fresh introduction, it's a follow-up. The date and time of this follow-up should be set at the end of the initial call to provide a clear plan. Remember to manage client interactions with the information bank, which is vital for tracking your contacts. Reviewing the information bank tutorial I shared earlier is essential. It'll guide you on how to track details of every client and note when to reconnect, allowing you to develop a structured relationship over time. Lastly, show your appreciation with a personal touch. This part is open for you to customize. You can thank them in any way that reflects your style. It can be a simple thank you for your time or something more personalized. In this script, I've kept it brief, but feel free to express gratitude in your own way that aligns with your approach. I hope these guidelines help you in your B2B and B2C sales efforts and lead to successful outcomes. Remember, 69 out of 70 parts of success belongs to the one who initiates. Why? Because starting is always challenging. You're putting in the effort to gather an audience, so the rewards belong to you. You're not sitting idly. You're taking proactive steps, working hard, reaching out, and connecting with people step by step. I'm proud of your efforts, and I look forward to seeing you succeed. Take care, and I wish you a productive day. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.